Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Massage Noir Murders. I'm your host, Renetta Rideout, and today I have a story that takes a direct dive into domestic violence that some listeners may find triggering. Surprisingly, I never heard about this story back in 2011 when it all takes place. Suddenly, 9 years later, headlines of it were everywhere, and this time I didn't miss it. The details of this case are absolutely appalling, and other parts are downright creepy. This case is a startling example of the abuse and violence Black women are faced with in our communities. If you choose to continue, which I hope you do, you'll see that while the murderer is absolutely depraved, the wheels of justice aren't always fair. All right, folks, brace yourself for an intimate look at the murder of Zazel Preston. It's December 25th, 2011, and 8-year-old Zayana and her 3-year-old sister Valise are around the Christmas tree, ready to open their presents. It's early, before 9:30 in the morning, and they're joined by their 7-week-old baby brother, their stepfather, William Wallace, who's recording the activity, and their mom, Zazel, who appears to be casually sitting on the couch in view of the holiday scene. It's the seemingly picturesque moment shared by millions of families around the world. Except, there's something that sets this family scene apart from all the others. Instead of the happy, joyous mother, there slumped a cold corpse wearing a pair of sunglasses in her place. Zazel had succumbed to the injuries she sustained after a brutal beating on Christmas Eve by the hands of William. And in an absolutely ridiculous effort to cover up the consequences of his actions, William thought it was a great idea to drag Zazel's lifeless body to the couch to, air quotes, watch her children open their gifts. Listen, I don't know about you, but WTF, I will forever be freaked out about that. And I've read about it multiple times now. This literally made me sick to my stomach. It's wild that this is how disturbingly vile the man is, and as we get deeper into this story, you'll understand why I say that. As you can imagine, the press latched onto this story like leeches, and how could they not, right? The headlines pulled readers in for a salacious look into this family's worst nightmare. I found numerous articles about this case written by big and small media outlets alike. It was pretty hard for them to ignore a story with such extreme and outrageous circumstances. One of those sources, the OC Register, reported that after William propped Zazel's body on the couch, he told the girls, quote, "Mommy ruined Christmas. She got drunk and ruined Christmas," end quote. Can you even imagine how confused and scared the girls must have been, especially Zayana, considering what she witnessed and was forced to do the night before? On Christmas Eve, Zazel and William attended their neighbor's Christmas party. They stayed there for a while, had a good time, and eventually went home. Zayana eventually testified during William's trial that when her mother and stepfather returned home, they got into an argument that escalated into violence. Zazel and William could be heard screaming and yelling by their neighbors. And at some point during this fight, Zazel even attempted to escape, and she made it all the way to the gate of her building before William caught her. A neighbor would later report that he saw William throw Zazel over his shoulder and take her back to the apartment. When they did get back, William's brutality continued, coming to an abrupt end when he shoved Zazel, causing her to fall onto the glass table, shattering it beneath her. Now enters poor 8-year-old Zayana, who witnessed the whole thing. William forced this scared child to pull glass from Zazel's skin. He then forced Zayana to help him carry Zazel's limp body into the bathroom, where William haphazardly dropped her, causing her head to slam into the toilet. It was precisely at that moment when Zayana said she thinks her mother died. Later, when William carried Zazel into their bedroom, Zayana remembers her mother's skin being hard and cold to the touch. And if you're wondering why the psycho took Zazel into the bedroom, thank goodness I can say it was not for necrophilia. At least that wasn't mentioned in any of the sources I read. What William was actually doing in the bedroom was making phone calls. NBC Palm Springs reported that Zazel's mom, Sydell Preston, told the judge during the trial that on the day of the murder, William told her in a phone call that, quote, if they, meaning women, could take another breath, they could take another hit, end quote. And as if calling her mom and saying that craziness wasn't enough, this dude went on to call her grandmother. She originally stated that he admitted to, quote, tossing her around, end quote. But later, Zazel's grandmother testified that she didn't remember saying those words. She said during the trial, he told her they were, quote, drinking and horsing around, end quote. Either way, she was dead at this point, and he was calling people. So clearly the man is off his rocker and totally misogynistic. And as I was researching this story, I kept asking myself, how did they even get here? Were there signs? Was he previously abusive? What happened? Well, the answers became pretty clear after I saw Zazel's Facebook post. Zazel was deep into the abuse cycle. For those that may not know, an abuse cycle outlines the behavioral patterns within abusive relationships. It begins with building tension, which then escalates to an incident like yelling or hitting or pushing something. And then this is followed by reconciliation. The abuser is now so remorseful and apologetic, begging for forgiveness. Once the abuser has been forgiven, there's a period of calmness that happens before the tension begins to build again. This cycle can and does happen to very many people, some of which you'd never expect. In Zazel's case, despite being 3 weeks away from graduating from college as a domestic abuse counselor, she found herself taking hit after hit, blow after blow from William. And no matter how many times he hit her, like so many other abuse victims, Zazel forgave him time and time again, like everything would just be okay. In July 2011, just 5 months before her murder, she posted a picture of William that had hearts and stars on the left side with a caption that read, quote, I can't wait to see my sexy ass husband next week. I love my baby more than air, with his fine ass, laugh out loud, end quote. And I'm just going to take a second to describe this picture to you. So as I mentioned, she's drawn these purple, blue, green hearts with stars all over the left margin of the picture. And the picture is a portrait of William staring at the camera. And he's not a bad-looking guy. But to me, when I saw this picture, I got chills because his eyes look so dead. Like someone's taking a close-up shot of his face. No smile, just staring emptily at the camera. I don't know. It's very unnerving. And in the upper right-hand corner, she's written, I miss you, Daddy, in like neon green ink. So since it's obvious she's missing William for some reason, can you take a guess where William was? If you guessed he was serving time in county jail for beating her and threatening to kill her, then you'd be correct. Zazel's grandmother found her lying in the street, dazed and badly beaten, which she testified about at William's murder trial. Apparently, Zazel had taken at least one blow to the head that caused her confusion. Now, I'm no doctor, but it sounds like she might have had a concussion. And I'm not sure if this is the beating that landed William in jail for domestic violence, but it's a pretty fair assumption it was, considering the timing, and she was early in her pregnancy with her son at the time. And each time William was locked up or a restraining order was placed, Zazel would visit him in jail or allow him to violate the restraining order. So Zazel was practically counting down the days for William to come home. When he finally got out, about a week after that Facebook post was made, it was rainbows and butterflies for like 2 seconds. Just 15 days after William's return, Zazel took to Facebook again, this time to ominously say, quote, no matter how much you think somebody gonna change, things just get worse. When someone has no respect for you, they never will, end quote. I took a little pause there because the first time I read those words, I can't even really describe how it made me feel, but knowing how this story ended up, I couldn't help but think how I wished she thought about those words herself and tried very hard to get away and stay away. But those familiar with how abuse cycles work, that's just not how it was. As if the previous post wasn't sad enough, the very next day, Zazel followed it up with an even scarier one. Quote, "Bye to my friends. I'm done with this life. It's my time to go," end quote. I don't know whether folks thought it was about getting attention or was it a cry for help, but either way, it was very clear that Zazel was not okay. At this point, she was about 6 months pregnant. This is a time when she needed even more tenderness and care, but instead she was dealing with violence that continued to ebb and flow over time until it finally escalated to the point of no return. If you're wondering about the children and whether or not they were also beaten, I can offer a slight reprieve here because I was unable to find any sources that reported the children were also physically abused. However, according to their grandmother, Seidel, the mental abuse the girls endured, especially Zayana, left them, quote, "mentally assassinated," end quote. After reading through Zazel's Facebook page, I found another article that reported William had previously assaulted a former girlfriend at least twice, and he also served a short time for those attacks. This guy really shouldn't have been allowed into society with so many violent violations on his record, but because intimate partner violence is associated with misdemeanor level offenses, William was free to abuse more than one woman, eventually killing at least one that we know of. And with all those things going on, you can see how things ended up the way they did on Christmas. Now, sometime after recording the girls opening their gifts, I guess William decided it was time to dial 911. And so a call was placed around 9:30 that morning. It's not totally clear who called for help because some sources say Zayana called while others say William called. I'm more inclined to believe William called because the Los Angeles Times published an article on December 28th saying that William placed the call for help and there was confusion when the paramedics arrived. Now, William didn't mention that Zazel was dead. So when the paramedics got to their apartment, they expected to find a person in need of medical attention, but they were met with a deceased person dressed up and posed on the couch. Needless to say, they called the police. Zazel had long since passed the need of life-saving measures. When the police came, they took a closer look at the scene and found that holes had been punched in the walls and there was blood throughout the apartment. William was immediately placed under arrest and taken to jail, where he waited for trial for 9 years. 9 years, you may be wondering? Well, it wouldn't be justice for Black folks if there wasn't something systemically screwed up during the process. William literally sat in prison without ever having been convicted of a crime for almost a decade before he was brought to trial in April 2021. And don't get me wrong, the guy doesn't need to be out on the streets, but this does make me wonder about due process when you're Black. Whatever happened to a speedy trial when the defendant is Black? 9 years is a long time to wait for a trial, and I've got questions, but unfortunately, I don't have the answers. I didn't come across any investigative articles that address this issue about the case, which is pretty disappointing considering how many "man props dead wife on Christmas" headlines I saw. It was eventually reported in March 2021, just a month before the trial began, that William chose to serve time in lieu of the $1 million bail. Anyway, when the trial finally began, William's legal team's best defense was that he and Zazel got drunk and she fell into the table herself. This unfortunately was substantiated by little 8-year-old Zayana at the time. On that fateful Christmas morning, when the police questioned her, Zayana told them that she saw her mother fall into the glass table. However, in April 2021, Zayana testified that she said that to the police initially because William told her to, and she was afraid not to. And truth be told, who can blame her? She even said she didn't know if she would end up in his custody or not, and after watching how William did her mom, she was terrified. So of course that was understandable, and the prosecution pressed on and doubled down on their accusation. The deputy district attorney, Heather Brown, didn't buy the lame excuse of intoxication and carelessness. She told the jury, quote, He wasn't too drunk to call his brother around midnight and tell him that his wife wasn't moving, end quote. In fact, she pointed out that William made several phone calls that night and none of them were to 911, which would be the practical call to make, right? The prosecutor went on to emphasize that a neighbor had seen William forcefully carry Zazel up the stairs after she escaped. Brown also said William even had the soundness of mind to clean up the crime scene, including changing Zazel's clothes after she died. So this whole ridiculous idea about him losing control and victim blaming was just a weak attempt to get off the hook. But thankfully, the jurors also saw through the charade because they found William guilty of second-degree murder. I can all but hear you incredulously shouting, second-degree murder? If you are, I can totally relate. That was my reaction too. But yep, William got the lesser charge, even though both first and second-degree murder convictions were on the table. According to the California Legislative Information website, the main reason a murder would be considered first degree is due to premeditation, although the occurrence of death during a felony act is also considered first degree murder. And before you get caught up wondering, yes, Zazel died during a beating that would seem like a felonious act, but unfortunately, in the eyes of California law, as I mentioned previously, intimate partner battery is not a felony. It's considered a misdemeanor, and therefore doesn't meet the requirements to qualify this murder as a death during a felony act. In California, second-degree murder comes with a 15-year-to-life sentence, and on June 4, 2021, William was sentenced and the judge counted the first 9 years as time served. So technically, William could be eligible for parole in just 6 years. In 6 years, a murderer who is proven to be a danger to society has the possibility of getting out and doing this again. This is one of the things that bothers me so much about laws as they pertain to domestic violence. A person, usually a man, can kill women and girls and practically get off or get away with lesser punishments because of technicality. It's so frustrating and frankly scary that many more men like William are already out there free to date and potentially kill or at least do serious harm. This is why it's so important for citizens to demand action from their local and state government officials. We must support and champion laws that protect victims and keep predators out of our communities. In this case, Zazel's abuser turned murderer had been arrested at least twice before for domestic violence. Each time he was released and had free rein to assault again and again. There was no mental accountability on William's part, and the short stints in jail were just slaps on the wrist. As a result, a hopeful, loving, beautiful young woman was brutally murdered, and her children's lives forever altered. Zayana testified in court that her life had been ruined and essentially has been in a downward spiral since the murder of her mother. No child should be left with a burden so heavy. It's all of our responsibilities to help keep this from occurring over and over again in Black communities. If you or someone you know is a victim of intimate partner abuse, please know there's help and resources available. Visit www.loveisrespect.org or call them at 1-866-331-9474. In closing, I will leave you with part of a statement made by District Attorney Todd Spitzer at the conclusion of William's trial. We all have an obligation to speak up about violence of any kind, especially domestic violence, where the victims are so fiercely controlled by their abusers. The cycle of domestic violence is a vicious one, and I want every victim of domestic violence to know that they are not alone. No one should have to live in fear of violence in their own home. If you like this episode, be sure to subscribe to Misogynoir Murders on your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to follow on Instagram at Misogynoir Murders. This episode was written and produced by Renetta Rideout.